Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So if yesterday in Virginia showed us anything is that, attacking a teacher works well. And that evidently anyone can do it. And if you listen to Youngkin's speech, you listen to the victory speech last night, they're going to basically give parents the ability to rewrite curriculums because we want children to learn to think, not to be taught what to think. And it's such a beautiful line because it's such a dog whistle line because it's all about that theory that's critical. And here to share some thoughts on what happened yesterday in Virginia and, well, across the country, I've asked Randy Weingarten to come talk with us. Randy's the president of the American Federation of Teachers, AFT. Randy, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you for everything you do.
So let me get your thoughts on what happened in Virginia yesterday. How bad was it? Was it predictable? What's your thought?
Look, it was predictable. I actually thought that Terry was going to lose by more. I think what happened is the following, and look, parents and teachers have to be each other's partners. We always have to work together. It's the way in which you help kids thrive. And you've had this once in a century pandemic that Trump and DeVos did a terrible job handling. Biden did a much, much better job, and then Delta hit. And it put everybody into a sense of uncertainty again. And so what you're really seeing here is the level of uncertainty and unease that Youngkin was able to exploit. And Terry, you know, who I love dearly, made an unforced error because, you know, parents do have to have a role in kids' education. The difference is this, you also have to have empathy. And you have to have a common curriculum, and you have to be able to deal with the teaching of history and the teaching of subjects that are uncomfortable.
Right.
And so what's happened is that Youngkin exploited Biden's poor poll numbers and the fact that the Dems had not gotten the stuff done that they wanted to get done and the uncertainty. So I'm not surprised about it. But what was interesting, Rick, is that the other untold story. So today, Murphy won. And also in places all across the country where teachers and parents were working together, they won school board races. So that kind of working together, problem solving, what are real problems, emotional and social issues that kids have right now, the start of school, we got all the schools open, but it's hard and it's tough. This is a really tough year. So we got to work together to create a welcoming and safe environment. And that the places that happened, you saw pro public education candidates win, including in Nashua, New Hampshire, where there were a lot of, you know, CRT or anti-CRT rallies, even though we don't teach CRT in schools, in the suburbs of Cleveland, in Cincinnati, in Toledo. So you got to look at the whole picture.
Right. Now, on the CRT front, I mean, you know, you said that, that they're bullying teachers and trying to stop teachers from teaching students accurate history. And I think that's true, but I also think it goes a bit further, is that I think Republicans think voters are stupid. They think that their voters are racist. And I think, in their view, they hope they're counting on them to be stupid and racist, because I've yet to find anybody who looks at this and can explain what critical race theory is, in a way that it would filter down to a kindergarten or first grade classroom. But I just see this as that dog whistle that we get. So I'm curious your thought.
You can see it in the poll numbers that the, in terms of white women, white college women voted at a higher rate for Terry than they did for Joe Biden. And white non-college women voted at a much lower rate for Kerry than they did for Joe Biden.
Right.
So what I think the Republicans do, or what I think that they try to do, is they exploit the legitimate uncertainty and anxiety that frankly everybody has right now. And it really depends where you're getting your information, misinformation and disinformation. If you're being fed it every single day, all the time, just like the big lie, that's what the reality is in the rural areas in Virginia. So the real question for Democrats are going to be, you know, not the facts, but how one can actually really engage people, because the suburbs, I'll give you an example, Arlington suburb. One of my employees was running. She had been a school board member. She was running for school board. The right wing used the fact that she worked for the AFT. She won her election. So it's really a matter of you have to meet people where they are.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, what's hard, and I say this as a social studies teacher. I was a high school American history teacher. I taught the effects of slavery. This is what's hard.
Yeah.
We have to create empathy for everybody. And what the GOP was able to do was, you know, in the period of time since George Floyd's murder, they were able to try to convince people that making kids feel bad was part and parcel of trying to deal with George Floyd's death. That's not true. We need to actually deal with the reforms to make sure that Black folks, you know, feel safe in the streets. And we have to actually deal with the effects of racism. And we have to actually create empathy for everybody, not make anybody feel bad, but actually deal with all that stuff.
And teach actual history.
And, you know, so it's empathy. It's empathy and it's history. If people don't trust each other, they're going to go right into their tribes, and that's what happened here.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Now, you said you were a social studies teacher, and I know that, but evidently Tom Cotton doesn't, because he during an interview called you a joke because she doesn't even have children of her own, and what the hell does she know about raising and teaching kids? I'm just going to throw it to you. Thoughts on something? I mean, this is really low, in my opinion.
Look, it was clearly yet, you know, it's, I mean, to me, it felt like it was a complete homophobic slur. I mean, I am the first out, and I spent a good long time before I came out because of these kind of things. But I am the first out lesbian labor leader and teacher leader. So, you know, I expected these kind of slurs 20 years ago, but why is Cotton doing it now? Because they're trying to find every which way to undermine and to try to, you know, undermine our voices. That's what the Republicans, that's what this iteration of the Republican Party does. But, you know, it was so stupid. Because we have to take care of other people's children. So I did actually say, you know, tongue in cheek some, I said, I guess he doesn't think any of the nuns that, you know, have taught in Catholic schools are qualified to teach anymore.
I gotta stop you here. I've got trauma from my 8 long years in Catholic school and the rulers and the beatings that I took. They were good teachers, literally beat information into me. I don't advocate for that.
All right, but so we all have had different experiences, and I am not condoning at all any kind of corporal punishment. You know that. But, you know, my point in saying all this is that teachers have to care for other people's children. That's who we are.
Exactly.
Every single day. And so it doesn't actually matter that I have stepchildren and grandchildren. Yes, I'm old enough to have grandchildren and nieces and nephews. all of whom would be quite surprised by Cotton's words, and all the kids that I taught at Clara Barton would, who would be quite surprised. It was just a way of attempting to divide and attempting to undermine. And unfortunately, that seems to be their modus operandi. I want to see them actually doing something that convinces somebody to vote for you, as opposed to trying to create such fear against the Democrats.
No, I'm right there with you. Now, you said a moment ago that in places that you're paying attention to, the communities came together, because I see educators in this light. Everyone loves their kids' teachers. I love my kids' teachers. When I hear attacks against teachers, it's in this broad, anecdotal kind of framing. But we all seem to love our schools and our teachers, except in those places where they were able to rile people up who probably didn't have kids there, or you know, whatever. Are you expecting a changeover in school boards? Because some of the things that I've heard in places like Bucks County and some places in Pennsylvania, that you've got some anti-public education people now on these school boards. Are we concerned about that?
Yes, of course. We always have. Look, I grew up in the suburbs of New York City. We always had people who were very much, you know, who were very focused on, you know, their taxes in the town as opposed to the education of kids. You know, you've always had different people who had different views about public education on school boards. But what I'm seeing writ large around the country is that the people who were, except for, you know, Douglas County, Colorado, for example, but the people who were running on, you know, not teaching about history in classrooms, not wearing masks, you know, and really kind of undermining public education, they didn't win. But more importantly, in the places where teachers and parents really worked together, organized together, went back to school together, and our union did a $5 million grant across the country. I was actually, 1,800 of our locals participated. I was actually in a few of these places myself. I went to 50 schools in 20 states between August 1st and October 10th. You saw great progress in really tough situations. So my message is to the Democrats or anybody else who wants to listen, my message is, you can't do what Terry did. I love Terry, but you can't. You know, parents have to be, they are a part of their kids' education.
Absolutely.
We need them as partners. We need to work together to actually help our kids thrive, particularly in a period of time of such uncertainty after 2 years of a pandemic. That's the message from this election, I think.
I'm right there with you. And the other part of it is, as I said at the beginning, I think Democrats have to find a picket line. I think they have to get the master's class of working class economics by getting out on these picket lines and finding out what working people are dealing with. Because I also say that
that
McAuliffe and the Democrats had nothing to offer those white mothers in that state. Who were talking all about education. They didn't have any child care to talk about. They didn't have any tax credit to talk about. They didn't have any family leave to talk about. No pre-K, no free college, nothing. They had nothing but the red meat,
And yet they did have the child tax credit, and they didn't talk about it, you know, because it's hard. I understand. I was surprised. I listened to Youngkin talk about how he's going to take on the grocery tax and the gas tax, but the child tax credit can actually help families right now.
Yeah.
And they didn't talk about it. But to your point, I completely agree with you, but that's why I'm in Scranton tonight, where I'm going to be at the Picket Line tomorrow morning. The Scranton Board of Education, you know, has taken the cover of recovery to actually really hurt children. You know, the so-called Recovery Act in Pennsylvania, which is, you know, a deformer act that was attempting to privatize public education. Sorry for my language. But, you know, the Republican areas where it's been used, the state legislature has figured out ways to get money to those districts. but only in Scranton, 5 years without a teacher or paraprofessional contract. 5 years. And they have the audacity, after we just got $60 million in federal funds, to say, oh, the only way you can get a raise is if you self-fund it. And by the way, once the teacher said, we're going to look, it's enough. They then said, what was their first act? To cut the health care of all the teachers this morning. Yeah. I mean, this is not just Scrooge. This is a board and a receiver and a lawyer for the state and for the board who has no clue as to how to actually work and lift up working people, including our kids, in as we try to get through this anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, our problems here is our General Assembly has basically starved these school districts, and Scranton, sadly, is in this situation. So last question, how can we help that?
Okay, so one of the things you can do is we're raising money for a strike fund for the educators who have cancer and other, you know, and had their health care stripped, and the AFT is going to contribute, and others are going to contribute. We hope to contribute. So go to aft.org, and you can find details on that strike fund, or you can go to the Scranton Federation of Teachers website and find details on that strike fund, or go to my Twitter, and I have lots of stuff about the Scranton. My Twitter is R. Weingarten, and tomorrow morning, we're going to be doing a big press conference to really try to create pressure on this board to negotiate a fair agreement. And they got the money now.
Yep.
I know they've been really hurt by the General Assembly, but the feds and the Biden administration came through for districts all across the country, and it can be used for these purposes. We need to help kids get bands back, get pre-K back, and we need to make sure that we have teachers and paraprofessionals in this district, and that means negotiating a fair contract.
There you
go.
Randy, I appreciate the time. Great stuff. I look forward to talking again real soon.
Thank you, Rick. Take
good,
care.
Good stuff. Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.